The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell. Sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now, in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to the Money Hour on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 21st show. I'm your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I'm empowering our community, providing you with opportunities and solutions when it comes to your money. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but we are here to answer any questions or connect you with any of my guests that are in studio today. Please pick up the phone, give the show a call at 1-855-411-1150. Again, that's 1-855-411-1150 or online at the moneyhour.com. And lineup for guests in studio today, Lloyd Haar, King County Assessor. Lloyd comes into studio to share the most recent things happening with our property taxes and over at the assessor's office. Second guest in studio, I have Andy Landis, nationally known author and speaker, and will be sharing with us the inside story to Social Security. And last guest from my lineup, Greg Prill with Coldwell Banker Urbane, listing your home and negotiating the sales contract of closing. That's what we're going to talk about with Greg today. And great information and great guests in studio. For more information on any of the topics discussed, please call into the show, 1-855-411-1150. Again, that's 1-855-411-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And let's go ahead and start out the show with a little money chat.
Money. Money.
I am not a real estate expert, as you know, as regular listeners to the show. I'm a mortgage expert, but I did thought I would bring something in to talk about the real estate arena. I'm going to talk with our third guest in studio today, kind of what's happening with the sellers. And hanging out with realtors a lot since I'm in mortgages, I pick up a little tips here and there. And so what I would thought I'd bring in during Money Chat was to talk about the buyers. And I see a lot of challenges with buyers working on the financing end because I'm providing the mortgage, which is a big part of closing. But you have to get your offer accepted first before I can help you close on the loan with the mortgage. And the problem is, it's just the lack of inventory out there. And I have clients that get a little frustrated with the multiple offer situation. And so I try to add to my toolbox by talking with my real estate professionals, all of the experts that I have in studio here on my show, The Money Hour, and pick up some tips that I can share with my clients. And so here's some things that I have heard can work really well in a multiple offer situation for any of you listening today that are buyers. So waiving inspection. Basically, when you go to purchase a home, unlike the appraisal, the lender is going to require that you have an appraisal. The appraisal is going to determine the actual value of the home, but not really any of the detailed condition of the home. Now, if there's something the appraiser can see with their eyes, like the roof obviously doesn't have 5 years remaining on it, they're going to call for a roof cert, or if they see dry rot, but they're not getting into the crawl space and doing all of the detailed work that your inspector would do. Personally, myself, I would never, ever, ever buy a home without an inspection. The problem is when you're in a multiple offer situation, and a lot of you might be dealing with multiple offers that have cash buyers, you want to make your offer as possibly as strong as possibly can. And so waiving inspection is a big thing that buyers are doing, and how they're doing that is they're doing it with a pre-inspection. So basically, you're paying up front for the cost of your inspection. Now, yes, you have no guarantee that you're going to get the home. So in the shopping process, maybe you're putting in your budgeting for home process is a certain amount of inspections that you're going to do before you get an offer accepted, because you're going to get an offer accepted. You just have to keep trying and not give up. So how many times is that going to take? Just depends on the market and how strategic you are with putting your offer in. And so another suggestion is waiving financing. Now, you have to be really careful in waiving financing, which means that you know nothing's going to happen to your financing before this mortgage closes. I can tell you on the lending side, based on the information that you've provided to me today, that nothing's going to happen happened to your financing, at least when it comes to you as the client and us lending to you as the borrower. What you want to make sure is nothing is going to change before you close on the home. So if you're concerned about losing your job or something happening in your income changing, these are things that would devastate your financing. And if you remove your finance contingency, what that means is your earnest money is at risk and it would not be refunded. Now, what you can't control in removing your financing is the property. So you want to make sure that you have something in the contract to protect you in the property. And that would be condo, making sure the condo is going to be okay. And a big one, obviously, for the property is the actual appraisal. Now, what I've seen agents do is put an addendum into the contract that states that you are willing to pay over and above what the appraisal comes in at up to a certain amount. Now, if the appraiser says the house is valued at $550,000, are you willing to pay $570,000? I don't know. Only you can decide that. But you, as a buyer, potential buyer of this home, you have a decision to make on whether or not you want to be more competitive in the offer situation. I'm just giving you some examples of things that you could do. So even though you offered and your offer was accepted at $550,000, just so that there's no concerns about the appraised value, if you really think that you'd be willing to pay for $570,000, then you could say that you'll actually pay up to $20,000 over what your price is if the appraisal comes in under value. Another option is a home warranty. Now, a lot of you are buying for a home, getting a home warranty. They're really inexpensive to get a year home warranty, and I would never buy a house without one. I just think it's kind of cool to have that, and I would continue to update it because you're always going to have things that come up on your home that you're going to pay for that home warranty. Almost guarantee that. But what a lot of people don't think about is getting an extension, or maybe that's not the right word for it, but an addendum into the home warranty that you're actually going to ensure you're going to warrant the seller all the way until the time that the home closes. So that's pretty cool. What you're doing something is just unique and different than what maybe other buyers are doing. It really all is, it's all about making your offer appealing to the seller so that they know during this inspection process, people are coming in and out of their homes or whatever the situation may be when they're moving things, that the warranty is going to cover them until they move out of the home. Now, also another creative thing that you can do is just let the seller know that they can leave whatever they want behind. Now, in a buyer's market, you're going to make sure the seller makes that place really, really clean. No garbage, nothing left behind. But let them leave everything. If they want to leave all their own old furniture, if they want to leave trash, who cares? Pay for somebody to come in, a minor amount, to come in and clean this stuff out. It's all about making it convenient for the seller. Why? Because you want them to choose your offer, and these little tiny things that can cost just a couple $100 here and there could make a huge difference and ultimately get you the home. And maybe you're getting the home for a little better price because of all these additional things that you're doing. Earnest money is a big one. Now, it used to be 1-3%. A 1% was typical earnest money. 3% would be considered a good earnest money. I think that's kind of 3-5% right now. 3% might be typical earnest money, and a 5% considered a really good earnest money. Now, that is the maximum, according to the MLS. Safe something is what they call it, to where they're not allowing the buyers or protecting their earnest money over 5%. But I promise you, if you come in with a 5% earnest money, you're going to stand out in a multiple offer situation because really you're seeing more on the 3%. Now, your earnest money is protected within the contingencies that you have. So again, you just got to be really cautious when you're thinking of doing any waiving of financing contingency, that your earnest money is protected. Closing date. Go in there with a really strong closing date. Now, a lot of the industry on the lending side, I know the statistics say 30% of closings don't close, and there's a higher percentage that just don't close on time. So we're talking about 30% never even make it to closing. That's a whole nother money chat that I'll bring in and tell you why. It's really the representation that you choose. But higher percent of that just don't close on time, which is a big issue as well. Now, lenders in some arenas are taking 45 days to close. I say if a lender can't close within a 30-day calendar day and they're not willing to guarantee that, find another lender. I guarantee my closings, $1,000 to my buyers if we don't close in 30 calendar days. Now, if you want to go in with a shorter closing than 30 days, that's totally fine. My team's getting them done in 2- and 3-week basis on a case-by-case basis, as long as you as a buyer is doing everything that's needed to get everything in to ensure that smooth closing. But I can tell you, you want to have at least $1,000 on a 30-day closing. And I promise you, if that's in your pre-approval letter, when the listing agent that's representing the seller is looking at that offer, they don't have to worry about that high percentage of the time that it's not going to close on time, because they know if there's $1,000 on the line, your lender is going to get the job done. Ask for credentials for your lender. If you're putting together a cover letter about you, why isn't your lender putting a cover letter about them? Make sure, find out what they're doing in the local economy. What are they participating in the real estate community? Unique things that can provide with that pre-approval letter to show that they're established. It'll make a huge help. And make sure your lender picks up the phone and gives the listing agent a call on your behalf to say how strong that you are and ready to go. So any questions on this? I wanted to share a couple more. There's never enough time, but pick up the phone, give my show a call, 1-855-411-50. Again, it's 1-855-411-50. I will post this on my website as well at themoneyhour.com. Lots of great information that you can get to online. And coming up next in the Money Hour, our own King County Assessor, Lloyd Hara, here to share recent things happening at the assessor's office and your property taxes right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you. Call us today at 425-454-4300 or visit magnumlawgroup.com. That's magnumlawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 21st show. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy. Keep me tuned in, and I promise I will keep you informed. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, but you can always call the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, that's 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. You can ask me any questions personally or talk with any of the amazing guests that I have in studio. And my first guest in studio, Lloyd Hara, King County Assessor. King County Department of Assessments assists property owners and educates them on property taxes and the appeal process. Learn today what's happening over at the assessor's office. Lloyd, thank you so much for coming back in studio again.
It's great to be with you, Tina.
And a little bit about Lloyd. Again, King County Department of Assessments. Lloyd is the King County Assessor and is here to talk about what's happening in King County and our property taxes. Her as represented veteran public official was elected assessor November 3rd, 2009. He has a record of tireless advocate for taxpayers and champion of openness and transparency for the government agencies. He's most recently served as the Seattle Port Commissioner, bringing new levels of accountability and leadership changes to the port. And Lloyd, it's always a pleasure to hear what's going on over at the assessor's office and the new things that are happening. I want to talk about the 19 residential areas out of 86 that have been posted that have received increases in their values. How much increases have you seen and what's happening?
That's true, Tina. Values are going up. Our assessment date is January 1st, 2014. So we look at sales between 2011 12 and 13 as to how we make those composites. And for all 19 at this point, they have all gone up. The greatest increases have occurred probably in South King County. And those are the ones that had the greatest reduction.
Isn't that the way it always works? They drop low and they go up high.
That has happened, and mm-hmm. that is happening now. A lot of it is because the values of those homes were probably very inexpensive compared to other areas in the region.
Got it.
And so when you're in bidding wars, people will come up and say, okay, you know, you might have a home that's valued at $225,000, you know, and so when it comes back on the market, it probably will increase substantially, maybe mm-hmm. 260, 270, or thereabouts. So that means it's a fairly significant increase from the base that from which it started.
So Lloyd, with these values increasing, I mean, that means our property taxes are going up, correct?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is that it is all dependent upon what the taxing jurisdictions that are within your, say, your property. And what we basically have seen is that some areas have not had voter-approved bonds, say, for example.
Okay.
So the taxing jurisdictions, say, like a city, may not tax their full amount. They are limited, however, by 1%. And so that means if the city, for example, got $100 last year, they could mm-hmm. get only $101 this year. So as a consequence, some of them, in order to finance their cities, have gone out for special levies. You've seen that in a lot of cases. And we do have districts and areas where 50% or more of your property tax is voter approved.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of homeowners that don't realize that. They just think property taxes is based all on the assessed value. And so you definitely want to pay attention to what's happening and what you're voting for to see how it's going to affect your taxes. So let's talk about the key fiscal inspection areas in 2014.
Well, we do have 1/6 of the county we do get out and we do physically inspect.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, you may see an appraiser in your neighborhood, and they should with their iPads. That's true. We have gotten national awards for our iPad use, which is kind of exciting. But on the other hand, it definitely saves you and I taxpayer money by mm-hmm. virtue of going to this new technology. But we do see a number of areas where our appraisers are out. Say, for example, we're out in the central area, certain uh-huh. portions of that, Beacon Hill, Burien, Federal Way.
Newcastle Barnes. On your list?
Pardon?
Is Newcastle on your list?
Is Newcastle on our list?
Uh-huh.
Not directly this year. So
okay.
You're safe from
okay.
seeing.
All right. Well, I was hoping to see one of your guys.
Yeah, I'm sure. But no, those are kind of the general areas, Bothell, Kenmore,
okay.
etc. So if you do see someone there on your property and it has an iPad taking a picture mm-hmm. of your property, and if you're suspicious of this person, please go up and ask him for his identification or her identification.
Perfect. And if you find out they're from the assessor's office, make them some warm cookies and milk.
That helps sometimes.
Yeah. So, Lloyd, what about the next property tax bill? Tell my listeners when that ticks back.
Okay, the next property tax bill will be coming out on Valentine's Day 2050.
Mm-hmm.
And you must understand that the values that we are placing to compute your 2015 tax is the effective date is January 1st, 2014.
Yes. Yeah.
So we run well over a year
yes.
behind the date of when your taxes
go up. And that's so important because I have people say all the time, well, my assessed value is this. Well, it really doesn't matter what the assessed value is because it could be so long ago, as you said, Lloyd. So let's talk about commercial values like residential. We see that they're on the rise. And what are viewpoint from the assessor's office?
Commercial values also are going up. And there's a close correlation between jobs and how the economy is going. When the economy is strong, clearly businesses are doing better. And as a result, those business properties also are going up. We have some interesting things that are occurring. For example, South Lake Union, everybody goes and said, my gosh, this is a jungle of cranes. That is true.
Yeah.
Guess what it's also doing to the commercial values in that area?
Of course.
Yeah, they're all going up.
Yep, yep. So, Lloyd, can you talk about the NACO Achievement Awards?
Well, we did get a what we call a NACO Achievement Award, and we got an award for 2014 for our e-appeals program, which is a web-based system where you as a taxpayer can go online and file an appeal. And initially when we installed it well over a year ago now, I thought it would be excellent if we got 10% use.
Yeah.
We're getting over 30%, which
and
is
you're,
really
you're
exciting.
Getting a huge use on that, but at the same time, your appeal process is going down. So you've made it much easier for the homeowners to go through the appeal process, but you're, the number of people that are appealing are going down. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's not only does it provide you easy access, but it provides you a basis of education so that you clearly know when you're looking at your home and your other neighbors, you can say, well, am I fairly being appraised by virtue of the comparison in your neighborhood? And if the answer is yes, or you're a little bit lower in some cases, you know, people don't appeal. So it's been a good thing.
That's awesome.
As I say, cost-wise, it's saving us money also as a, you know, as a agency. So.
Sure. So, Lloyd, you have one of the nation's largest inventory of property data. Can you tell what new is happening in that arena?
We do. And what we're trying to do is make our reports more user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We provide more data about your parcel and the communities that you live in, some of the other demographic information. And we're also working very closely on trying to combine what they call big data these days in terms of census data, crime statistics, other information that you can begin to go to our website and take a look. A lot of the questions I'm sure homeowners ask when they are looking for a home.
Can you share that website, Lloyd?
All right. Well, you can get on our basic website. It's www.kingcounty.gov/assessor. And so you can get on our website.
So, I mean, anything regarding your property, you really want to go on the website and stay there because it sounds like you can get pretty much anything, any data that you want on your home right there.
That's true. We're receiving well over 4 million page views a month.
Unbelievable.
So it's, you know, very popular. And those, especially in the real estate industry, are on it all the time.
So going back to the appeal process, Lloyd, 60 days from the time that they receive the postcard in the mail, then they're in a position to go through that appeal process if they want. Is that correct?
That's correct. First, I say go to our website, take a look. Secondly, if you have questions, we have folks there to answer your questions specifically. And if you still think that your property is not valued correctly, then you have the opportunity to formally go to appeal. We also have a tax advisor, the only county of the 39 counties that has a tax advisor to also assist you.
Wow. So anything else going on, Lloyd, any initiatives happening?
Well, there are a lot of things that are coming up on the fall ballot, and taxpayers should take a close look as to the levies that will be there. And, you know, clearly you always have the education. Depending upon where you live, those various districts will come to you and say, okay, vote on this or vote on that. You know, that is your choice, opportunity, and gives you more options as to what you want as basic services. But you also have to remember, you have to pay for it as well.
Makes total sense. And Lloyd, before we go to break, can you share with my seniors in what they should be doing to make sure that they're taking advantage of their discount?
Yes, we do have a senior citizen discount program. If you're 62 years of age and older, earn $35,000 or less gross income, and you live in your primary residence, you may be qualified for a senior discount off your property taxes.
And how far back? Because a lot of people miss out on that, Lloyd. So how far back can they go and still receive that benefit if they missed it?
You can go back 3 years. So if you're 65 today and you missed it at 62 and you qualified, then we can go back and get a three-year rebate for you.
Perfect. Any questions for Lloyd? What's happening over at the assessor's office? Pick up the phone. Give the show a call. 1-855-400-1150. Again, it's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. Lloyd, thank you so much for coming back in studio. Really exciting to see you and can't wait to see you next time.
Oh, it's always fun to be with you, Tina, and also to be with your listeners.
Thank you. Coming up next on The Money Hour, what's happening in Social Security? Is it going broke? What steps do you need to take to plan for Social Security? My only expert that I have come into studio to talk on this topic is Andy Landis, nationally known author and speaker, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you. Call us today at 425-454-4300 or visit magnumlawgroup.com. That's magnumlawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
You bought it, but do you know how it works? We're talking Social Security, the biggest mystery in your financial blueprint. Now, move from mystery to mastery with the new book, Social Security, The Inside Story. Author Andy Landis has helped thousands of people just like you master Social Security.
Hi, this is Andy Landis. You can learn more at my website. Go to www.andylandis.biz. That's andylandis.biz.
This is The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 21st show. I'm committed to providing you knowledge needed to be successful in every area regarding your finances. Knowledge is power, and that's what you'll receive from listening to my show. And if you are hearing the show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, to talk with me or any of the guests that I have in studio today, you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. And in studio right now, Andy Landis, nationally known author and speaker, everything about Social Security that you need to know. Andy, so excited to have you back in studio again.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Tina.
And so we're just focusing just on Social Security today.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Little background on Andy. Andy has worked since 1977 with pre-retirees and retirees of Social Security, AARP, Weyerhaeuser Corporation, and his own practice, Thinking Retirement. Through Thinking Retirement, Andy leads Social Security, Medicare, and retirement seminars for financial planners, CPA, and Fortune 500 firms. He is the author of the book Social Security, The Inside Story. Hail, and he's holding it in his hand right now, and actually got a copy. I so much appreciate that. The Inside Story hailed as the best book on the topic, and also When I Retire, A Guide to Design a Great Retirement Life. Both are available on Amazon. And Andy, I just want to start out right with your book because I'm excited. Your new 2014 edition in Social Security, The Inside Story, is now available. Previous editions of the book going back to 1993 have been called the best book on Social Security and Medicare. And I know it's just one of those things that it's just getting better, right?
I just try to keep improving it. It's been 2 years since the 2012 edition. It was time. Uh-huh. A couple of updates and a couple of ways that I could say things better, make things a little more clear. So it's great to have it out, and it's being well received so far in its first month out there.
That is awesome. Congratulations to you. And
thank you.
If you're listening and you want to get a copy of Andy's book, you can always go online to at themoneyhour.com and connect directly with Andy, or you can order it, obviously, again, on Amazon. And if you want to talk to him, sometimes he actually talks to my listeners.
Oh,
he'll
yeah.
talk to you anytime. That was actually a little personal joke there. 1-855-400-1150, and you can talk directly to Andy. So, Andy, if your paycheck is interrupted by Social Security, they pay. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. And let's start out with retired workers.
Okay. First of all, you're right. When you pay your FICA taxes, you're actually buying insurance on your paycheck.
Uh-huh.
And if your paycheck is interrupted by retirement, disability, or death, that's when Social Security pays. So you brought up the big one. Retirement's the big one. And yes, a retired worker can draw Social Security as early as 62. Of course, you'll get more money if you wait till 66 or to really max it out, wait till 70 if you have average life expectancy or above. So, yeah, and if they pay you as a retired worker, pretty good chance they'll pay family members, too.
So let's, I think it's going to want to go back really quickly before I go to my next question that I want to ask you, that it's important to really know what the best strategy, because I think a lot of people, they draw out their Social Security, they really are not understanding that is going to make a drastic difference in what they're ultimately going to receive, and they really don't need it right now. And
right.
So I think just really strategizing and reading your book and understanding what the best, what the best things are to do, correct?
It's true. You know, Social Security is like a new computer or a new phone. I mean, you probably know how to turn it on,
yeah.
But do you really know the hidden features in
there?
And that's
a
big deal. There's a whole bunch of things you can do with Social Security that most people don't know. Hey, some of the stuff even Social Security doesn't know they can do. It's pretty awesome, yeah.
That is really, you know it, so that makes
yeah.
it even more awesome.
And I'll tell you how to tell them that they should know it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a disabled worker.
Okay, most people don't know that you are buying disability insurance with your paycheck deductions. And if you have a work history and can no longer work because of an illness or an accident, if it's a serious disability, Social Security will pay you and your family members as long as that lasts.
Okay.
So it's pretty important to know about.
Got it. And I'm a spouse and I have a spouse.
Yeah,
what about a spouse?
Spouses can draw Social Security if their other spouse, their working spouse, is not working and draws Social Security, or if they're deceased, even at a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know that. I don't know how many 25-year-olds who are survivors because they've lost their spouse, have I talked to and said, yeah, we can pay you. You know, we can pay you while the kids are young, and we can pay you again when you're retirement age.
Wow, and they
so
didn't know.
Really
and they
important.
Didn't know
they
that.
Don't know. People don't know that. Yeah,
that's amazing. And so, what about a child?
Kids can get Social Security from birth in some cases. So, if the child is under 18, or they'll stretch that to 19 if they're in high school, or if they're an adult but they've been disabled since youth. And they have a parent who is either on Social Security or deceased, there's a 50% payment for the child.
Wow.
So, and, you know, I've got a friend that has two little kids under 10 years old that are going to get paid through high school. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. And so let's talk about those ex-spouses out there.
Former spouses. Interesting. You know, most former spouses I talk to know that they can get Social Security on their ex.
I never knew that before.
It's pretty interesting. That doesn't mean you should go get a divorce, Tina. But
no, definitely not.
No, definitely
you
not.
You know Dave.
But, yeah, I do know Dave, and we don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
So. But the cool thing is, when you go to file for Social Security, Social Security will ask, are you married? Do you have any kids in these categories?
Okay.
And do you have an ex-spouse? And if you say yes, and if you had a 10-year marriage before the divorce, they'll try to pay you on that record, and maybe it pays better than what you thought you could get. So it's just one of the routes that's open. If you have an ex-spouse, they'll try to pay you on that.
But not if you're remarried.
If you're no longer single, that won't work.
Yes.
You have to be 10 years married.
When I heard this
single.
When I heard this on a quite a few shows that we did, I was like, well, what about my mom? But she got remarried. But her, when my dad passed away, which you know was just last year, and his ex-wife started collecting Social Security. And I was like, what? How in the heck does that work? So it's amazing what we don't, you know, what we don't know. She knew.
You know, if your mom had an earlier marriage, there's a chance she could draw on that one now. She should talk to Social Security.
Earlier marriage mean other than my dad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, she was okay. Married. Yeah, she's married no to problem. My dad and her second one. But
she could draw on either one of her husbands now that she's single again.
No, she's not single.
My mistake. Yeah, I'm mistaken.
No,
okay.
It's all good.
Thank you.
So lots of things to look at it with, you know, to understand and make sure you're not missing out on an opportunity, because I think a lot of people out there are. They don't know that that they can collect it. So let's talk about something different for a widower of a deceased worker.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
Well, first of all, if you've had a loss like that, heaven forbid, but if you have, Social Security could start at 60, not 62. And it actually could start at any age if you have a child in care, if you have a child under 16 in care. You have to be single, or in that case, you could actually be remarried if the remarriage was after age 60.
Okay.
So you've heard me say before, if you're planning a wedding right before your 60th birthday, you might want to postpone it a couple of weeks to keep that door open.
Timing
on that
is everything.
Payment. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Even with Social Security. So now even a parent of a deceased worker can collect on a Social Security?
That's really rare. The parent has to be financially dependent, as defined by the IRS, on the worker. So if, let's say you're
so
supporting your mom your dad, and then you can no longer do that because you're retired or deceased. Well, I think it only works for deceased. Then the parent could file on your work record if it's a raise for them. So it's very rare, but it's there.
So Andy, how does a listener, if they are thinking about how do they get this information to make sure they're not missing out on?
The Social Security website is good. It's a little daunting because everything under the sun is on there. Mm-hmm. You could call Social Security and talk to them. They're open on the phones from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. Don't call them in the middle of the day. They're always completely blitzed in the middle of the day. I don't mean that the way it sounded.
Of course.
They're just their phones.
Well, everybody's calling during the work hour.
Exactly.
Oh, wait a second. Why are they calling during the work hour? Okay, another show.
So call at like 8 in the morning or 5 in the afternoon. You'll get right in.
Okay.
So the information's out there. Of course, a general guide like my book can help. But Social Security's there to do that, too.
Okay, perfect. So, Andy, let's talk about what's happening with Social Security fraud. Mm-hmm. What about the 50 people that pleaded guilty on Social Security fraud?
There is something weird going on the last couple of years where when I worked at Social Security, disability fraud was extremely rare.
Really?
And you'd bust them if you could because nobody wants to see taxpayer money go to waste. Right, Lloyd? Right. So, so you really want to bust them. But what's weird is that they're busting these giant cases. Like just this month in June, 50 people in New York pled guilty to Social Security fraud, all in one case. And I've never seen that kind of thing before the last year or so. So these were retired New York cops and firefighters.
Oh, that's sad.
Faking stress disability.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it's got to be really stressful to do that kind of work for any police officer or firefighter. But it's horrible to think like they would amplify their symptoms in order to get Social Security. But they got busted. And, you know, a whole bunch of money was recovered.
Uh-huh.
There was a similar case, in 2013 in West Virginia. This was the first mass case I ever heard of. And a whole bunch of people, I mean hundreds of people in this one county, were all getting disability. And interestingly enough, they were all working with the same doctor and the same lawyer. And in some cases, the same Social Security judge.
Really?
Yeah, it was all a big circle to get kickbacks. And they busted them all.
I hope they all went to jail.
They will. It's kind of reassuring when you really hate this kind of abuse to see them get busted.
Yeah.
The other big one recently was 70 in Puerto Rico. 70 were indicted. That's not settled yet. Three doctors plus an SSA employee. Sometimes there's an insider working these things. So it's interesting. Well, Social Security's fighting back. So they did something I've never seen before. The fraud fighters were always spread out across the 10 regions in the country. Mm-hmm. Now they've got a single office that's going to fight these massive cases. And maybe that's why we're seeing these big busts lately.
So was that in March of 2014, the Social Security fraud prevention you were talking about?
Just last year, they put together a national fraud prevention unit, which is pretty amazing. Like I said, I've never seen that before. But they're doing it, and they are looking for patterns so they can actually prevent fraud before it occurs. So
that's great. So I'm sure they'll nip this in the bud here real soon.
Looks like they're nipping something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything you want to leave my listeners with before I got to take us to break, Andy?
Yeah. Everybody needs to know how Social Security works because, you know, Tina is your expert on your financial safety and your financial success. And Social Security is the foundation of that. So learn what you can. It's everybody has paid for it. You got to learn what you're buying. So that's probably the bottom line for everybody.
I totally agree. And that's why I have you in studio on a regular basis, because I think it's such an important topic to share with my listeners. And a big extension of a hug across the table here from you. And thanks again for coming into studio.
Thank you. Great opportunity.
Okay. Look forward to talking with you soon. Coming up next on the Money Hour, here to give advice to anyone selling in today's real estate market, Greg Prill with Coldwell Banker Bain, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.
Mortgage fraud has been rampant since 2007. Many folks don't know they have legal rights. Find out if your mortgage loan has wrongdoings and fraud. Magnum Law Group will do a free audit of your loan documents. Facing foreclosure? Need to stop a foreclosure sale? Magnum Law Group can help. We have experts with valuable knowledge, and we get results. Have you decided to short sale your property instead of a foreclosure? Magnum Law Group has the experience to negotiate better and faster for you. Call us today at 425-454-4300 or visit magnumlawgroup.com. That's magnumlawgroup.com.
Hi, this is Deborah with Magnum Law Group. Please contact us at 425-454-4300. You can visit our website at www.magnumlawgroup.com or call us at 425-454-4300.
Listening. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in the world to do. In today's real estate market, you might feel that you're being pushed in four directions all at once, that nobody wants to take the time to stop and listen to you and your needs. But if your real estate agent doesn't listen to you, can you be sure that you've obtained the best deal possible? If your real estate agent doesn't take the time to get to know you, can you have confidence that your best interests are being looked after? Greg Prill of Coldwell Banker Bain listens. He wants to know about the needs you have today, but also about your dreams for tomorrow. By taking the time to get to know you and your needs, Greg Prill will ensure that you've obtained the best deal possible and that the things that are important to you are being taken care of to your full satisfaction. It all begins with a simple conversation, so why not call Greg Prill today? He really is interested in what you have to say.
Hi, this is Greg Prill. You can reach me at 206-734-4397. Once again, that's 206-734-4397. And hey, have a nice day.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, June 21st show, bringing in expert advice and inside knowledge on today's events and our local economy and how it can affect your money. And if you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you're listening to a rebroadcast, you can call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to discuss anything regarding money or to talk to any of the guests that I have in studio today. And in studio right now, we have Greg Prill with Coldwell Banker Bain, and we're going to talk about a little bit of real estate. Greg, thank you for coming back into studio.
Well, thanks for having me, Tina.
And a little background about Greg. He's a full-service real estate broker, and he's an attorney, so it's a nice combination to have in studio. With more than a dozen years' experience, Greg is an expert negotiator with an impeccable attention to detail. detail. Greg leverages his two areas of professional expertise to ensure that you find the right home at the right time at the right place. Greg is a graduate of the University of California and at the Chicago Kent College of Law. Greg, thanks again for coming into studio, and I'm excited about the topic today to really talk about the seller side and kind of what's happening for them, because it is a seller's market.
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt. But there takes some, you know, strategy to making sure that they're maximizing their opportunity as well. So let's first talk about the real estate market and what's happening.
Sure. So I think that one of the things that you mentioned a little bit earlier during the show today was the record low inventory that we have in our region. And there's lots of different reasons for that. But the fact remains is that there are lots of buyers out there who want to live here. Because we've got great weather,
mm-hmm.
we've got a great natural environment around us, and we've got a lot of great jobs that are coming to our region.
Yes. Yeah. But
notwithstanding that, there's a lot of folks out there who want to buy who can't because the houses just aren't there for them to buy, which is quite disappointing for a lot of my clients.
Mm-hmm. So, Greg, let's talk about, again, being a seller's market. A seller may think, you know what, I can go online, I can get the same data that a realtor would. Why don't I just sell my house myself instead of hiring a real estate agent?
Sure. I mean, what we're seeing with the folks who think that they can do it themselves, it's nothing new. There's always mm-hmm. been the for sale by owner market out there, FSBO, and that's about 2-5% of the market at any mm-hmm. given time. And so what we're seeing is an evolution of those types of sellers out there, the folks who think that they can do it themselves. And what's really interesting, I think, is that the National Association of Realtors came out with a yearly report.
Uh-huh.
And one of the statistics they came out with is that the typical FSBO home sold for $184,000 as compared to an agent-assisted home that yep. sold for $230,000.
And if you're listening right now, and if you heard those numbers, it's a really bad mistake to not hire a professional to do anything. Whether you're getting the best book on the market to talk about Social Security, you're going to the assessor's office to really understand and find out what you're voting for affects your taxes. When you're selling anything that we do, we need to have an expert behind us. And I just love that NAR comes out with these statistics and these numbers to really help sellers not. And if you look out there, there's really not a lot of them anymore. I think people are starting to get and realize the value really
well,
in a real estate agent.
Absolutely. And what's, I think, very important is that at least for a while, there was this trend towards somebody coming in, allowing you to use their name, get on the MLS,
uh-huh.
and to sell your house that way.
Mm-hmm.
That was a quick way for you to sort of bypass the classic agency relationship
yeah.
with your broker. And there's one particular service that I'm aware of that promises you, gosh, if you go with us and mm-hmm. you pay us a couple $100, we're going to get you on the MLS and we're
yep.
going to save you on average $10,000 worth
mm-hmm.
of commission.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all brokers who are members of the Northwest Multiple Listing Service have access to sales statistics.
Yep.
And I was curious, so I spent an afternoon taking a look at the past couple of years. And strangely enough, what I found is that while they may have, you know, saved some $10,000 mm-hmm. worth of commission, they were actually on average selling for $10,000 below list price.
Yeah.
So what you were gaining on the one hand,
yep.
you were giving away with the other hand.
And I think if you're listening, you think, well, but why is that? Because I'm getting multiple offers. Yeah, that's the problem is when you have more versus less, it's actually harder. It's harder to accomplish that best deal at the end. When you've got 20 people making an offer on a home and you're not an expert and you don't know all these things to
that's
do
right.
to actually maximize
it's
and
very
start that bidding. It's very overwhelming.
Very overwhelming.
So, Greg, let's talk about full service. A lot of real estate companies out there advertise as full service.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, so I think that there's this great line from the movie Princess Bride where one of the characters keeps on saying inconceivable. And finally,
uh-huh.
and finally another one of the characters says, I'm not quite sure that word means what you think that it means. And for a lot of brokers out there who claim to be full service,
mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure that they think that the word means what it actually means. And to me, what a full service broker means is that I create a relationship with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I get to know them. I ask them questions. I learn from them. I take the time to listen to what their individual concerns are. And I think that we've all had the experience where we've tried to get customer service over the telephone and you wait 20 minutes and you get to a tier one person
mm-hmm.
and you explain yourself. And then the tier one person says, well, I can't really help you. I'm gonna push you off to the tier two person. And then you got to re-explain yourself. What a full service broker should do is be the person who's your sole point of contact. This is the person who, when you have a question on Sunday night about something, you've mm-hmm. got their cell phone number. You call them up and they answer that question. When the 20 offers come in, that full service broker will take the time to go through each and every single one of those contracts with you. Because look, sometimes you do have a lot of offers on your property because you've got a very attractive house and people want to live in your neighborhood. And maybe one of those offers is for $15,000 over list, but it's so chock full of different sort of addenda on them. If, mm-hmm. if this happens, then we're going to be able to pull out some of the things that you were talking about a little earlier. Some brokers are taking to heart your advice and are trying to make offers as clean as they possibly
mm-hmm.
can.
Yep.
But there are still lots of brokers out there that are adding these, I don't want to say tricky addenda, but mm-hmm. if you don't have the experience, you don't fully understand what the consequences of those addenda are
makes,
in your purchase and sale contract.
Makes total sense. So let's talk about a value. How can a really, not just a seller, but the agent in this market and all this craziness going on, determine what the value of the home is?
Yeah. So lots of folks will wonder, well, what's my house worth? And quite frankly, the simplest answer that I can give, it's what somebody is willing to pay for your house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do people find out about your house? Well, they find out about it by appropriate marketing. But you don't even get to the appropriate marketing stage until you've put it on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that you need to do is gosh, I've got the house next door that recently sold for $500,000. Why can't my house sell for that same amount of money?
Mm-hmm.
And what a full-service real estate broker is going to do is he's going to look at 6 years' worth of historical sales data. He's going to look at 4 and then 2, 1 and then 6 months' worth of data. And he's going to look for trends. And so when a client asks me what's my house worth, I'll actually pull down the historical data. I'll filter it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure out why certain houses sold for certain amounts of money, and I'll sit down with them. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 hours to explain how I come up with the value that I think that their house is worth on the fair market.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've found is that for most consumers out there, when you take the time to explain why you're coming up with the dollar amount is less important to them than why you came up with that dollar amount.
Yep.
And so if I can just give you sort of a quick little story recently that I had. I had a woman who thought that her house was worth a certain amount of money. And I toured the house and I pulled up my historical data. And we spent about 4 hours on this. And we were going through because she had gotten some ideas, taking a look on public-facing websites.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that time period, she had a much better understanding of what her house was actually worth based upon the data that we're able to get from the MLS and from the King County Tax Assessor's Office, which is a wonderful website, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Of those 4 million plus page hits every single month, I'm probably about a million of them. and she came away from our meeting more confident with what we eventually listed her house as.
Yeah.
It wasn't a mysterious process for her, which was mm-hmm. just a great experience.
Well, and I think that's key too, Greg, is really for a good realtor is going to be able to communicate with their sellers, take the time to let them know how they're coming up with this, show them the data. And I think, if you're seeing it and understand how it's coming together, then it makes sense. And you can get over really quickly how, yes, my house can sell easily without doing anything. That's not the question. And some count, if you list it for the wrong price, it's not going to sell its own. It'll sit there, and then that could be devastating. But so what do you tell a seller that says, you know what, it's just going to sell all on its own?
Yeah, I tell them, no, it won't. And and if you're looking for a broker who is going to tell you what you'd like to hear,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to have a great transaction. And ultimately, if your goal is to sell your house, you really have to look at what the market is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't argue with the market.
Yep.
So sometimes you have to be polite but firm. But I think that those clients out there who are willing to listen to what the market is telling them, they end up much happier than those who perhaps are a little bit stubborn and unwilling to listen to what the market is telling them. And one statistic that I think is perhaps most important for that group of people is that we have roughly 100 some odd years worth of data that shows that the worst thing in the world that you can do is have a house that sits on the market for more than 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Because once that begins to happen, the amount of money that you ultimately get drops precipitously. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just Greg Prill saying it.
Sure.
It isn't Coldwell Banker Bain saying this. This is the National Association of Realtors with over 100 years worth of data.
Sure.
So when you take the time to retain the services of a competent full-service real estate broker, he or she's going to do everything in their power to do for you what you can't do for yourself, which is access the meaningful data that establishes a fair market price for your house.
So we're almost wrapping up the show here, Greg. I just want you to give one strategy really quickly to my sellers on how to maximize their price.
Declutter your house.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've spent 20 years in your house or maybe even 10 or 5 years, and you don't quite realize how much furniture that you have in your living room, but you would be surprised. And that's a big turnoff for a lot of people. And you can have a beautiful house that's impeccably landscaped, that's well-maintained. But if people walk in and they feel claustrophobic, they're not going to want to live there.
And what about saying, see, and that's what's funny with real estate. There's always, it depends if you're representing the buyer or you're representing the seller. Now, if you put your buyer's hat on, go look for those homes that are all messed up and tell them just to leave everything. And I bet you're going to get a good deal on that house. Right, Greg?
Absolutely.
Greg, thank you so much for coming into studio and sharing your information, wealth of information with my listeners, and just excited to see you come back again.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And this is your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Enjoy this beautiful, beautiful place we live in, Seattle. Good weather or bad weather, it's just kind of exciting to see what's going to happen, right?
Absolutely.
We never know. I mean, it's just a beautiful city. So everybody enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to my show. And I look forward to talking with you again next Saturday. And if you missed all this show, listen to the rebroadcast of the show tomorrow, or you can go online at themoneyhour.com. Enjoy your weekend.
The preceding program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395, is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.